You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
Brought to you weekly by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. It's Dr. Mike and Dr. Arthur Perry at 34 past the hour, straight talk from the docs. We reserve this time for Dr. Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic and What's Not, every week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Thank you for coming on again. I thought we'd pick the story first that probably affects the most amount of people listening, and that's Tide detergent.
Sure. Hi, Mike. Hi, Joe.
Hey.
Yeah, California has decided to get Tide, get the carcinogen out of Tide. And the carcinogen I'm talking about is something called 1,4-dioxane, which is not dioxin. It's a different version of carcinogen. And, nobody likes to think of their laundry soap, what you're washing your clothing in, as having a chemical carcinogen in it. And so California has taken action against it. A question could be, well, why has it taken so long? And I have to first say that this is not a purposeful additive. This is a byproduct of the manufacture of anything that suds and is soapy, like shaving cream. There'll be some traces of this, and also in shampoo, and also in laundry detergent. And California has a law called Proposition 65, which if you have a carcinogen in the product, it has to be on the label, or you have to get rid of it. And Tide didn't want to put it on the label, so they have to get rid of it. But in the grand scheme of things, this is one of those things that's not that toxic. I mean, if you've been using Tide all these years and you're saying, oh, my God, am I going to get cancer now because of Tide? I would say, no, don't lose any sleep over this one, because it's at trace levels in the laundry soap itself, and then you are thoroughly rinse cycling, getting rid of it with clean water that doesn't have the carcinogen, getting rid of whatever residue is there. So there's really no human exposure. People aren't eating Tide. They're not taking baths in Tide. So I would say that there's really not much cause for alarm. I'm of the opinion that it didn't even need to get rid of it, but I think Tide had to do it for PR purposes. Now, this chemical can be in bubble baths, though, because of the sudsing foaming. That, I think, is more important to take note of and to make a nice homemade, which, by the way, in my book, What's Toxic, What Not, we bring up this subject, and we do have a recipe for homemade bubble baths, which will prevent your children from being exposed to this chemical in the bubble bath. So that's, I think, more the bottom line here.
I think the bigger problem with the detergent, Gary, might be the detergent that looks like candy that kids think is candy and they eat it.
Yeah,
they have these little, what they have now, Gary, as you know, is these little pellets that are colored and look like candy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they probably won't taste very good. A kid would probably spit it out, but they'd still get some exposure. And that kind of situation could well end up in the emergency room, but that one wouldn't be a life threatener. But certainly, yeah, that's not good marketing, and that's not good packaging. But while we're talking about kids being exposed to poisons, I'd like to get to the next story, which is about Decon and EPA taking action against rat poison. And nobody likes the idea, the thought, that their toddler or their four-legged pet could get into rat poison. But in fact, some of the versions of rat poison out there aren't all that safe. And EPA just took action against 12 versions of Decon. They've been noticing that Decon's been a problem for a number of years. They've been negotiating with the manufacturer, and it hasn't gone anywhere. So they've had to actually cancel the registration of this kind of packaging for rat poison. And 10,000 kids a year end up in emergency rooms because of getting into rat poison and ingesting it. So that's a real problem, and this will make it safer. Decon does have some market share, and getting their unsafe products off the market is a good
what is it now? The unsafe ones probably have warfarin, which is the bleed, the thing that causes you to bleed, and that's why rats. What is the safer one have as its poison?
Actually, Mike, it's a little bit of the opposite of what you're saying. Warfarin is safer than the newer, more potent versions of rat poison, which are also anticoagulants and make the rat bleed out. But the newer ones are more persistent. And so if the rat dies slowly over the course of a couple of days, it's going to die out somewhere in a field or in a wall. But if it's out in a field, wildlife will pick on it, and it's well known now that predators, birds and coyotes, they become poisoned and they'll die. And recent wildlife studies show that because of the second generation of more potent and more persistent rat poisons, that there's a problem endemic in wildlife that they've got these residues of these potent anticoagulants. But in terms of what Decon did wrong, they were using the second generation of more powerful, the non-warfarin kind, and there were also their bait stations weren't tamper-proof, and in some cases they had loose powder, which is a real hazard and would lead kids to get into it more.
We get a mouse every now and then. I'm not big on the chemical thing.
Chemical thing. This is more like I think for problems that are more like in cities.
Yeah, but I don't want a mouse in my walls. I mean, PETA may come after me, but I like the trap. I just like the old fashioned mouse trap. Catch it and throw it outside.
I used to have a hard traps and put it on somebody else's property.
Yeah. You know me too well. Okay. 2 minutes, Gary. How healthy are today's kids?
Well, yeah, EPA does a status and trends indicator report about once every 10 years. They just came out in January 2013 with the status of America's children relative to the environment. And some good trends. Lead levels have stabilized and are still trending downward. Now, of course, when we were kids, our blood lead levels were up around 20. And today's kids' blood lead levels are around 2 or 3. So that's a huge public health advance. And lead levels are still, you know, on the low side. But right now, there's about 400,000 children in America alone that still have too much lead in their bodies because they're exposed to old housing, lead paint, or lead in soil from historic gasoline fallout. So lead is still a problem. It hasn't gone away. But the other big thing that they were looking at as a trend was cotinine. Cotinine is a marker for cigarette smoking. And back in the 1990s, 27% of kids were living in homes with a smoker, smoking in the home, as indicated by the cotinine levels in kids' blood. Today, it's down to 6%. So we've really increased the consciousness about indoor smoking. As I talked about a couple of weeks ago, it still is a problem in cars. Parents may smoke in a car with a kid,
right.
And some states want to move against that and have laws against that. But and then asthma rates are high. They don't seem to be going up, but they're still too high. And autism and attention deficit problems are increasing. We don't know why. And so the neurodevelopmental aspect and the tie into the environment, that's really the big one to crack in the coming years.
So are we better? Basically, quickly, are the kids better off today now? Are we getting better?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think just from lead levels alone, kids have much better chance of getting into Harvard today than they did when I was a kid.
All right. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, you want a quick comment, Mike?
All I want to do is make sure we talk about the bees and the beehive disappearance next time.
Yeah, we'll do that next time. Toxicity in bees coming up with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Next up is Straight Talk from the Docs. It's Dr. Arthur Perry, part of the team every week. And you can email them to udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. And stay with us for Straight Talk from the Docs. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen.